We'll open the service this afternoon with number 312. 312. Let us stand.
Be with those that stand in need with the blessing of many that are sick and have their name hallowed before us. We'll be mindful of each one of them, those that have trials within their homes and families and workplaces. We ask a blessing for them. And we pray for our people in Yucatan. You know, their condition there is very difficult. We know they're poor and deprived. And we pray that you would lift them up and give them the courage they need. Bless their ministry and be with the sick that are there. And we pray for that work that it might go forward throughout the land, that it might bring in members, and we pray that we might search out the honest in heart and bring them unto thee. And we pray for our young people that they see the importance of following after thee. Bless and comfort the aged, we pray. Help us all to have the discernment and wisdom we need. And we pray for a greater amount of patience and charity in our hearts. And we pray that our faith might increase daily. We would ask that you be with our speaker this afternoon, that you have his mind opened and his tongue loosened, and he gave us a message which upon his heart that it was turned to each one of us. And we pray that you go with us this afternoon at the baptism, and pray that thy spirit might be there, that it might give us the direction we need. And we're thankful for the promises held in thy gospel, that by keeping thy commandments we can have eternal life. And we're thankful for thy gospel, that we can enjoy the better things of life right here, and know that we can turn to thee in the time of need and trial. And we pray again that your spirit might be with us to direct us, give us the courage we need. Bless those that are traveling upon the highway. And we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
We'll continue with number 131. 131. Let us stand again. Thank you. Thank you very much. Some very good advice in that song. Again, Marvin is going to be our speaker this afternoon, and I ask that you give him your careful attention and an interest in your prayers.
We who have been here through the whole reunion noted in the opening preaching service there was prophecy brought out concerning the time of our day and the promises of the Lord to the house of Israel. Last night we likewise heard about the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But while the bridegroom slumbered, tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Really, some good thoughts came there of responsibility of each one of us, of what we might be allowing of in the way of sin or tolerant of. Today, the one who is in charge of the preaching service spoke somewhat about the United States of America, who was once a righteous nation, but it has turned from God. I am very concerned of the time in which we live, and especially concerned of our little children, our young people, and the family structure of today. Our nation was built up, a great nation in the beginning, because they had strong families. They were founded on strong families. They made wise decisions and chose wise leaders to lead them. And as we have watched in this very generation in which we lived, a great deterioration in the family structure of the United States of America. But I feel we're not alone, that this is a worldwide dilemma. It's something that should concern each and every one of us. Because with this deterioration, we see different decisions being made by those in responsible positions that are not wise, that are more conducive to the ways of the world and the lusts of the flesh and the sins of our day. And so we find ourselves today, each one of us here, in a different dispensation of time. But in all dispensations of time, there is hope to those that serve God and keep His commandments and the commandments of His Son. And today I want to center a lot of my thoughts around our young. And I want especially the young people to pay attention. But I want the parents to pay attention. I want the grandparents to pay attention, because I believe I have some thoughts that might help us in the day in which we live. During the past solemn assembly, the apostles thought it wise to present 5 different purposes to especially pray over, and I only choose to read one of them. Item 4, and I want each one of us to listen closely, even though most of you have already heard it, but you probably may not even know what item 4 is. Pray over our little children. That's a charge for us. Don't forget it. And our young people, in order that they might be able to resist the ever-present temptations of this world. They're ever about trying to lead everyone astray. Temptation is running rampant upon the face of our earth, in our nation, in the cities you live in the country, wherever you are. Pray over the young families and the whole family structure in order that we might have strong families. That will be the way we stand, brothers and sisters, in the days ahead. Even though our nation's families may deteriorate, if we as a church can again get strong families among us, it will be an answer to many of our problems. And the whole family structure, in order that we might have strong families who can endure the stress of the world. And the stress of the world is destroying many people today. At the workplace, the stress is something that was not thought of 30 or 40 years ago, or even 20 years ago. The increase of heart problems had increased because of stress, number one, I think. And the problems of life, and there are many. And I just like to, there's a reference here from Luke 21, and I just like to turn to a little bit of that and let us think upon that today. The words of Jesus Christ as he spoke many years ago concerning a day that preceded his second coming. And this is found on Luke 21, and part of it I won't go into in detail, but I think it all start with 32 and maybe read down through 35. And in this particular one, he gives something that everybody understood. It's like a fig tree, you know, when it's putting forth its tender shoots in the spring, or a fruit tree or anything else, you know that spring is nigh. It's coming. And you know that summer is coming. And then he goes on in the fore part of this and gives certain things that will take place in the dispensation that precedes his second coming. Many of these things have already taken place, and I don't intend to go into them today. I invite you to read them. But I would like to go at 32. Verily I say unto you, this generation, when these things are being fulfilled, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And the words that can lead us to the tree of life, that rod of iron is a representation of the word of God, and it is the way to the tree of life. And they will not pass away. They're there for each and every adult, mother, papa, grandparent, little child, and young people. And I charge you to cling to the word of God today. And take heed to yourselves. He's talking to us today. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And that word is excesses, or an overabundant supply. Drunkenness, and listen to this, and the cares of this life, and the cares of this life, another place it says the cares of this world, they are adversely affecting people. They are affecting every member of the Church of Christ. Of course, some they are affecting far more than others. But I'll let each one discern yourself how much you're affected by the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now getting back to this other, my main thoughts today are begin centered around our young and the young families and the family structure. For I indeed am very concerned for them. And I'd like us to turn now to 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter. It's found on page 142, at the bottom of the page, verse 43. And I want to show you how a people of old handled a problem. And we can well benefit today by following this example. For we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. And that should be one of our primary purposes in this life, is to persuade our children and our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. And there's much voiced by religions today. It is by grace that you're saved. And I believe that. Just exactly what it says in the Book of Mormon. After all we can do, it is by the grace of God that you will gain salvation. No other way. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, these people of old said, we keep the law of Moses. And of course, we don't have to keep the law of Moses because it's already been fulfilled. But they did. And they looked forward with steadfastness unto Christ, this person that they have got to believe in, until the law should be fulfilled. For this end was the law given. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us. These people of years ago, before Christ ever was born on the earth, kept the law of Christ. It says the law has become dead unto us, And we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. That's why they were made alive in Christ, was because of their faith. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments. They were told to keep it till it was fulfilled. But listen, and we talk of Christ. Do you parents talk of Christ to your children? Do you grandparents do it? Do we do it one to another? This should be a part of our conversation. We prophesy. Wait a second, I skipped some. We rejoice in Christ. We preach of Christ. It's important that we preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ. And we write according to our prophecies. Why? That our children may know to what source they may look for remission of their sins. So I find this plain language. He's speaking to plainly to the understanding of even the little children here. And I would like to turn to another father who's concerned for his son, Solomon. In the book of Proverbs, the second chapter. And I'm going to dwell a little bit on several of the first verses, maybe 1-8, but some of it I may just kind of paraphrase a little, but other I want to read. Verse 1 on chapter 2 of Proverbs. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom. Now he wants them to pay attention to and the words that Solomon had here were none other than the words of God, so that they might have wisdom and thy heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding. Those are important things to do. And then it says, seek it as you'd seek for silver, search as you would for hid treasures. Verse 5, then, and listen to this, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We want this. We want the knowledge of God. But the way is, you seek for it just like you do for silver or treasure or your likelihood, your things of life. One of the great desires or purposes, I should say more aptly, for an increase in wages is not for a better home or for maybe a bigger car, but to buy more pleasurable items. I read that one time. What a strange world we are within. And the Apostle Paul looked down through time and also saw our day when people would be encumbered with the pleasures of life more than the pleasures of God. We're looking at the day. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's where it comes from. We got the scriptures, the word that will never fade away. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler. A buckler is a strength to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. He does that. I want us to think a little more now in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, concerning parental responsibility. Responsibility of husbands and wives, one to another. And this is found in the third chapter of Colossians, verses 18-21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. It's no one-sided situation. And be not bitter against them. Children, I'm talking to the children here, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, talking to the fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they should become discouraged. So there is a way of doing all things. But when we kneel down with our little children and pray for them, and pray for guidance, that we might raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we can gain it. And the next one I want to turn to is the book of Ephesians. And a lot of these are no new scriptures to you. You've heard me use them. You've heard others use them. But I felt to put them together this way. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this isn't hard to understand, is it? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so these scriptures are very plain, the way they're written. They're written for our benefit. Third Nephi 8, on page 652. The words of Christ, I think important that we should dwell a bit upon these. And I want to start in the middle of a verse on page 652, and I want to start in the first line with the word behold and read down through verse 52. And he was speaking here, Christ was, to the multitude of the people. So this involved just like we have here, a mixed group of people he was speaking to. Behold, verily I say unto you, you must watch and pray always. He said that years ago. You likewise must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. It is ever about it. It is being looked like it is a thing to follow today. The vices of the world, the lusts of the flesh, the ads in the newspapers, on the TV, and wherever you look are all designed to entice people toward the carnal way of life. But you watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation. Anyone can enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you. He is alert. He knows your weakness. And he dwells on him, that he may sift you as wheat. And of course, when we sift wheat, we take out the evil and leave the good. The devil would take out the good and leave the evil when he does his sifting. Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name. Jesus Christ said this. You pray in his name. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. What a beautiful promise that is. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. Well, now this is plain to our understanding, is it not? It is a way of life that we must learn. It must be a daily way of life. Alma, in speaking to his son Helaman, in Alma 17, on page 441, and I like these words. They found in verses 65 through 70. And now, my son, he just talking to his son, and his son happened to be a minister. Remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Solomon told the same thing to his son. Remember the words of God. And then he went on and gave him a charge. Trust not these secret plans unto this people. And they had some of the secret orders and works of the day. He says, don't trust these plans unto the people. It will lead them astray, is what he was saying. But he did say, teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance. If you've done something wrong, you need repentance taught unto you. And faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Paul said in the book of Hebrews. Teach them to humble themselves. It is important that we learn humility. And he says, teach them how to do it. And to be meek and lowly in heart. And Jesus Christ was meek and lowly in heart. He says, come and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, that you might have rest for your souls. And in this world of turmoil, we need rest for our souls. We need peace because we see so many people that are not at rest in their souls. We're living in a trying time when people are at unrest. But the rest is there. It is able to tap and to be a part of our life. It can strengthen you and I and any others who will turn to it. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith, this is the way it's done, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to endure the temptations, you young people, I know there's a lot of things that's put before you. I really sympathize with the young of our day because there's a lot of things. There was a lot of things when I was a kid that was pretty bad. But I'll tell you what, there's more today. And there's so much pressures on them to do things that are wrong or to follow other courses. And I really sympathize with them. And I'm concerned for them. But again, we got to teach you to withstand the temptations of the devil. And the way to do it is with your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. You regularly pray to Him. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart. And then it says, for such shall find rest for their souls. Now, is not that plain? If you want rest for your souls, the way is outlined here. And I do want to speak today in plainness. That's my desire. Even as Nephi in 2 Nephi 13 chapter, he says, I delight in plainness. And if I've spoken over the heads, I haven't reached them. Because I feel we got a need here today. A great need, and I want to address it according to our ability to understand. Oh, remember, my son, and listen to this, you sons, you daughters, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Learn it when you're young. It's so much easier. You could wait till you have white hair and not much of it, you know. But I tell you what, it's a lot easier when you're young. It could be a way of life that could help you have peace through the days ahead. Even though there's turmoil around you, you could be at peace in your soul. Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, cry unto God for all your support. That is our charge. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Did you hear that? We look about this room, there's a whole multitude of thoughts right now. And I don't know what everybody's thinking, but I have learned to look at your faces and I get a little idea, see. But again, God knows exactly what you're thinking. And one day, if it's contrary to God, you'll stand before the judgment bar of God and you'll give account. It's serious. So again, watch what we think and what we say. Let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord. And today it's placed on everything under the sun, practically. But it's to be placed upon the Lord. Yea, counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Pray to the Lord. You've got needs, you've got problems, you've got answers you want. Pray to the Lord. And then it goes on to say, when you lie down at night, you lie down unto the Lord and ask Him to watch over you while you sleep. When you get up in the morning, you thank Him because He did it. Proverbs, the 8th chapter. And this is found in, start with in verse 1. I think I give you a wrong reference, maybe. Proverbs, the 1st chapter. I guess I didn't. It's in the 8 through 10. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, and listen to this. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now that's plain, isn't it? Let's turn right over to the fourth chapter of Proverbs. First verse, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. And now we just go a little further over in this same book of Proverbs to verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Now, we got all kinds of words for us to follow. It just says, don't do it. And yet, ever about us, the enticements are to follow these ways, and they bring heartache. And go not in the way of evil men. They're ever about. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And we got people in our time that are fulfilling this very thing. They got to do some mischief at night. Why? We just don't have anything to do. We couldn't have a curfew at 11 o'clock. Why? We need to be out running around at 2 o'clock, you know. Sleep not except they've done mischief. And they sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Now he saw, now this was then too, but it's today too. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And we have a lot of violence today as well. But the path of the just, and listen to this, is as the shining light. Jesus Christ was a person of light, not of darkness. If we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness, but we shall have that light of life that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. And we know when it's totally dark at night, we can stumble. They know not at what they stumble. And I think of no better instance of this is in Korihor, in the 16th chapter of Alma, on page 414. And he was a person that I really believe got to the point he didn't know at what he was stumbling. And I want to pick up with about verse 60 and read some of this, but I want to give a little of the background. He had quite a conversation with Alma here, denying there was a God, resisting anything that Alma said. And so let me read 60. Now, and I want to show you how inconsistent this man was. Now, Korihor said unto him, or Alma, I do not deny the existence of a God. Now, listen to this. But I do not believe that there is a God. Now, what kind of philosophy is this? I don't deny the existence of a God. I just don't believe he is. So he was confused, wasn't he? And I say also that you do not know that there is a God, and except ye shall show me a sign, I will not believe. And so Alma showed him his sign. He said, from this time on, you're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to talk anymore. And so he was struck dumb, according to the words of Alma. Verse 63. And now when the chief judge saw this, he put forth his hand and wrote unto Korihor, saying, art thou convinced of the power of God? Are you convinced now? In whom did ye desire that Alma should show forth his sign? Would ye that he should afflict others to shew unto thee a sign? Is that what you wanted to do? Go out and afflict the other people so you can get your sign. But that wasn't the way it was. Korihor is the one who got the sign. And he was struck dumb. Behold, he has shewed unto you a sign. Now will ye dispute more. And I want you to listen to the answer of Korihor. And Korihor put forth his hand and wrote, saying, I know I am dumb. And that's for sure. If suddenly my speech was taken away, I know I was dumb. And every one of you would too. And you would be utterly frustrated if you tried to talk and nothing come out, wouldn't you? I'll guarantee you that would be a pretty good affliction, or pretty bad, I should say. Nothing good about it. And he wrote, I cannot speak. And then I want you to notice this. And I know that nothing save it were the power of God could bring this upon me. Nothing but the power of God could have done this. So the old boy's memory isn't getting a little better. And then look at this. And I also knew that there was a God. Now, one time, Corey Horn knew there was a God. So just because you know there was a God, you can't rest on your laurels. Because he knew there was a God. But there was a deceptor. Let's read on. But behold, the devil hath deceived me. You think you're beyond deception? Let's read on. For he appeared unto me in the form of an angel. And I think every child has got the devil depicted in a red suit and some horns on his head and a pitchfork, you know. And I think every adult, yeah, this is the way the devil looks. But he said he appeared in the form of an angel. He don't look like that old guy like you think he looks. And said unto me, go and reclaim this people. These people who believe there is a God and Jesus Christ and all that, go and reclaim them. For they have all gone after an unknown God. What a sad thing. Yeah, go out and reclaim him. He deceived Corihor. And he said unto me, there is no God. And Corihor, of course, believed him. And he taught me what I should say. So we don't think that anybody is immune. But with the power of God on your side, you are immune. You must pray in faith, believing. He can support you, each and every one of you. And no matter what you've done, he's willing to accept your repentance, your humble repentance. Now, isn't that quite a God? Yea, and he taught me what I should say, and I've taught his words, and I taught them. Why? Because they were pleasing to what? The carnal mind. So just think on this. When you get to thinking evil thoughts, following the lust of the flesh, who's behind it? None other but the devil. It's pleasing to the carnal mind. And I taught them even until I had much success, insomuch that I verily believed they were true. Right over here it says, and the wicked, way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. And here, Corihor got to the point that he didn't even know at what he was stumbling. He really believed these words of falsehood were true. And for this cause I withstood the truth until even I brought this great curse upon me. Back again to this fourth chapter of Proverbs. If you shut up a book too quick, you err, because sometimes I'll pick it up. Verse 20 through 27. I just want to show you how all these things go together today. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Pay attention, in other words. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That is important. And this is important for us parents, us adults, grandparents, or even if you don't have children, it's just as important for you to do this for the young. For they are life, in verse 22, unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth. And that's one that's habitually disposed to disobedience. And we have a lot of that in our society. By habit are disposed to disobedience. Put this away. That's what it says here. Perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, straight ahead. Don't think that all this lust of the flesh and the broad way can give happiness. It can't do it. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder, think, in other words, the path of thy feet before you make a decision, before you follow some course that you might have a doubt about. Ponder what you're going to do. Ponder whatever you do. And let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So there's so many things here that are so well established. I'd like to turn to the book of Mosiah. King Benjamin, second chapter on page 221. A wise old king. had a lot to say before his death to the people. He really gave them a lot of wise admonition. I want to start with verse 21 through 27. "And humble yourselves," this old king said, "even in the depths of humility." We need to do that. "Calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come." And that which was to come was none other than the birth of Jesus Christ. "Stand steadfast in Jesus Christ," each and every one of us, "which was spoken by the mouth of the angel." That was prophesied at this time. Now it's a reality. "And behold, I say unto you that if you do this," and I want you to listen, "ye shall always rejoice." If you stand steadfast in the faith of Jesus Christ, if you come down in the depths of humility and call on the name of the Lord daily, and it says, if you do this, you shall be filled with the love of God, and always, and listen to this, retain a remission of your sins. Didn't say you wasn't going to be free from sins. You can retain a remission of them. Right here is a way outlined, as plain as can be. This wise king told us. "And you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you," or "in the knowledge of that which is just and true." And I've read a bit about that from the book of Proverbs today. "And you will not have a mind to injure one another." And so often, in our ways, we injure or hurt one another. It is time, brothers and sisters, that we arise and be counted and no longer hurt one another. We should not injure one another. We're all tender creatures. I know, I've dealt with the problems of people. We shouldn't have this type of a mind within us. "But you will have a mind to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked." And that happens to them in our nation. But listen to this. "Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God." Did you hear that? It's plain, isn't it? "And fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil," he is behind it, "who is a master of sin," or "who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness." Korihor found that out. "But you will teach them," these little children, "to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another." Now, do you have any problem understanding that? Several years ago in 1988, and this was referenced by Brother Mike and Dew during the Solemn Assembly, a vision by Evangelist Placido Cuyoke. And I just want to read a part of it. But the first part, the opening statement of it, I'd like to read for our benefit. It says, "He awoke early in the morning. While praying over the day's activity, a vision appeared before him." And I am informed that this is a very spiritual man. And I believe this is spiritual guidance that I'm reading. "He first saw his family," and he has a great concern and love for his family, "then all his brothers and sisters in his congregation," and listen to this, "which represented to him the church at large," you, each of you, and I today. It represented us as well. "He was overcome with the impression that there was a great need within the church, within this Church of Christ that we love so dearly." This was in December of 1988. "With this awareness, the vision faded, and he pondered the significance of what he had seen. There came into his mind, one by one, a list of needs for which he thought we should be praying. He listed them together with a few scriptures. And I'm only going to read three of these needs because they, all of these are pertinent. And I've read them in other places. 3, 4, and 5. Pray, and these brothers and sisters there are still doing this. And I charge each of you to do this. Pray for the responsibility of parents to God and to their children. He said to do this. 4, pray for the duties of youth, you young here, towards God and your parents. And in Ecclesiastes 12:1, it tells us to remember the Creator in thy youth, when everything is going smooth. So you young, remember while you're young, your Creator, while things are not encumbered, while you don't get in the problems of life, which is ever tearing our young to pieces today. And I weep over the lustfulness of the flesh that is going on in our society that is destroying our young. Pray for our little ones, these little children here, their duties to God and to their parents. Now that's something that we each can regularly do. And I don't find that that's so difficult a thing to do. We've got a duty to do it. And if we aren't doing it, then we're letting down our young today. That's just plain and simple. We got a duty. Alma, 16th chapter on page 430. And I only choose one verse. Verse 219. The words of Amulek to the Zoramites, to us today. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer. That's a charge. Cry unto him when you're in your fields, over your flocks, over your occupations. You young, when you go to school, pray over your school and your activities at school and the things you pursue. Pray over those you associate with. Many can lead you astray. Cry in your houses, over your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is the enemy to all righteousness. Like turn to 1 Peter 5th chapter, verses 5-9. Likewise, ye younger. Now listen to this, all you young. Submit yourselves unto the elder, unto those who are older. But let me go on. Let's read a little further. Yea, all of you, each one of you in here, be subject one to another. Not one of you are above any other person. I don't care who you are or what your duty is as a minister or whatever it is. Nobody is any better than anybody else. Be clothed with, and be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and don't forget that, but giveth grace to the humble. That grace by which we're saved after all we can do. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Put our care there. We're burdened. He says, bring it to me. Are you willing to do it? That's what he said. Be sober. Be vigilant. You've got to be alert in this life, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, even an angel of light, deceived Corihor, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Maybe one in this room he's seeking right now. Maybe two or three. Who knows? Whom resists steadfast in the faith. I've spoke some about that, this faith. You've got to resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we got to literally resist him. Now I have one closing reference from 2 Nephi 13 on page 163. Verses 29 and 30. to those who have entered the waters of baptism. All is not done. You've entered in by the way, but you've not come that far, save it were for the words of Christ. But let's read on. 29, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. We must learn to do that, brothers and sisters. It has been commanded. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And really, that's why we have gathered here. That's why we gather in these gatherings, that we might each work out our own salvation and one day have eternal life, a life that is free from all sin, from all sorrow, from death. The former things will all pass away.
After the service here at 4:30, we'll have a baptism. As I mentioned, it will be at the, they can gather at my house, and there's parking along my side of the road there, east of my house. If we need some extra parking, then we can pull into my yard and park quite a few people. And give the 5:30 will be our supper at the church, at reorganized church, and song service at 7:00. At 7:30, we'll have the preaching service and the confirmation of the baptism. So, is there anything else we should notify anybody of? We'll close with number 120. 120. Let us stand.
He is the King, our Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful for this afternoon and the privilege of being here and hearing thy word. We're thankful for the word that's been brought to our attention. We pray that we might seek thy ways and to keep thy commandments and follow the ways that is pleasing unto thee and to strive to understand the good way. And we pray that we might have the strength to resist the temptations and evils that's before us. For we know that it's easy to go astray. But we know there's only one way to go right, and there's many ways to go wrong. So let's follow each one of us with greater diligence the path that you have set forth for us, and we pray that we might become stronger in thy word. Go with us now, this afternoon, and in this evening, and we pray that thy spirit might be with us continually. We pray to thee in the name of Christ. Amen.